Dr. Gwen Show, where you come to be inspired, educated, and empowered to live a passionate and effective life on purpose. The number one podcast show for inspiring women. This is the podcast where we support you in living your best life ever, even while raising happy, healthy kids. Tired of feeling stuck in a rut with nowhere to turn for resources and advice? We can help. Achieve your best life ever by listening to our podcast show. Introducing the woman who believes it's possible to be totally fulfilled in all circumstances of life, the host of the Dr. Gwen Show, the Dr. Gwen.
Welcome back, everyone. Thank you so much for joining the Dr. Gwen Show. Today we have our guest, Dr. Deborah Harris, returning to give our parents advice on handling children with disabilities now in meeting their educational needs. So yesterday we looked at some things that parents could do at home to ameliorate the situation there for not just themselves and not just the children with the disabilities, but also for supporting the other children who may be in the household who do not have those disabilities. And today we're going to look at what can you do as a parent if you have a child with a disability? How can you get the services that you need? And how can you support that child, your child, in fulfilling their educational plan? So, Dr. Harris, welcome back.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be back.
Absolutely. And the first question that I have for you concerns the educational plan that parents encounter from time to time with their children at school. Now, what type of influence do parents have on this whole process of the educational plan that some of them may be seeing for the first time? Are they supposed to be involved in the process? What does it look like? Or what should it look like?
Parents, you have the most influence when it comes to these matters. And the best thing you can do is that anytime a meeting is called for your child, that you are there. Mm. And that you ask questions until you receive the answers that ensure you understand what will be going on with your children. The individual education plan is a set of goals and objectives to ensure that your child has the most appropriate education for him to be successful. And when you go to the meetings, it's very easy to get intimidated because it's a room full of teaching professionals who are coming to tell you what they found in their evaluation and assessment of your child. So parents have a tendency to be intimidated by that, and they'll just nod their heads and say yes because they assume that the teaching professionals know what they're doing and have all the answers. And while they do know what they're doing, the perspective that the parent brings is absolutely essential to this process. So advocate for what your children need or what you think they need. Keep in mind that you know the kids from a very different perspective. So in school, the child may not participate in class discussions. But as a parent, you might know that in order for the child to participate, he has to be in a small group or just with a few people because he's intimidated by large groups. And that may be something that they have found out in school, but it may not. And so as a parent, you bring that to the table. But that individual education plan is a legal document, and it should not be executed without parent involvement and parent signature, which says that you agree. But it depends on where you're from. But for the most part, they have to try to contact you three times before they can execute it on their own. That may be a little different from your area, so find out. And then the person that can help provide you answers more than anyone else, if you're not comfortable with what's going on in the school is your director of special education in your school district. Ask for a meeting and ask questions. They are supposed to give you your parent rights, and they're supposed to explain those rights to you. So don't underestimate your power. Please, please, please be a part of that school. Advocate for your child. Please.
Yeah, that's great. And, you know, as you were talking, I was thinking about my son before he went to the fourth grade. There was an assessment that was done. And this conversation where I'm taking this next also goes to support that sometimes things don't necessarily work out the way the professionals predict that it will. And my child was diagnosed, well, he was gifted / SLD, which is a slow learning disability, according to the conversation. And we were told that he would never learn to spell. He would probably need a computer to write with, because his handwriting wouldn't be legible. And by the fourth grade, my son was writing so beautifully and spelling, because for some reason, I, as a mom, I did not accept that as final. I kept holding the expectation of excellence in front of him and kept challenging him to meet that expectation. In the end, it ended up that he has the most beautiful handwriting of everyone in this household. He never needed a computer, and he spells perfectly. Very intelligent writing process. And, you know, so I just mentioned that to say to parents that it really is important for you to keep that expectation high when you're dealing with your kid, no matter what the results from any analysis says. Because when you have indicted that child to, or, you know, you have said, okay, it's final and it's done, whatever the psychologist says is what it is, and you have just given up at that level, you're not giving your child an opportunity to rise up beyond whatever is predicted, which in my case, it didn't turn out to be accurate at all, much to my joy and pleasure. So I guess the question that I have for you is...
Before you go to that question, let me just add something to there. Anytime you go to one of these meetings, if all you hear is what a child can't do, can't do, can't do, can't do, let that be a red flag, one of the biggest flags you can ever see. Because special educators are supposed to use a child's strengths to address the weaknesses. And if it's all about can't, can't, that tells you the kind of expectation they have for your child, and that expectation gets communicated to your child indirectly, and then children live up to that expectation.
Yeah.
So if you hear a lot of can't, then ask this question: tell me what my child can do, and how you're going to use what he can do to address some of the things he can't do.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Well, thank you. Well, that certainly addresses the question I was about to ask, only you said it more beautifully than I could have asked it. So that is just perfect. So wonderful. Thank you so much, Dr. Harris, for raising that. And in terms of support for their children in school, I know you probably already said this, that the parents need to be involved and they need to go to the school and be involved to offer their input. Is there any other way that as the child is sitting in the classroom and learning that you can recommend a parent to support their child's education, even from the home perspective?
Yes, yes, yes. I would strongly recommend that you volunteer to be the room parent. if they have that going in their school. Volunteer to go on any field trips. Just show up and ask to be able to just observe your child. Now, as long as your presence doesn't distract the others from learning, they pretty much allow that, and as long as it doesn't interfere with your child's learning. So in essence, become an integral part of the school so that they can know you, see you. I hate to put it this way, but it goes a long way. It's almost political, mm-hmm. but it really goes a long way in ensuring that your child gets exactly what is needed, and for the other kids to get to know him or her and to socialize in that regard, be involved with the PTA, become a PTA officer, bring cookies to the teachers. I'm being a little facetious on that, but the whole point is your presence they should know you. And they should know how concerned you are with your kids' education. The number one thing I hear when I go to schools as it relates to children with disabilities, and it really, really bugs me. It really bugs me. And I'll tell you what I say to them. This is what teachers will say. These parents don't care. They don't show up at the meetings. I never see them at the school. They're this, to this, to this. And every time I hear that from a teacher, my response is this: don't be fooled. These parents care. They may not be able to show they care in a way that you are used to, but they care. If you don't believe me, mess over their children and watch them. And so, right. and they look at me, they're almost stunned in my response. But mm-hmm. here's the point. When you are invisible, they conclude you don't care. And that's not true, and I know that. So
Right. That is great. Just very well said. And the last question that I have concerns those parents who may not have their kids in public schools, but in private mm-hmm. school settings, or maybe mm-hmm. in homeschool settings. What type of services are they entitled to as parents with children having disabilities?
Now, I'm going to state this in a couple of ways, because from the federal level, if a parent pulls their child out of public school and places them in a private school or homeschool, that private school in particular is not required to follow the IEP that's been written by the public school. However, the LEA or the local educational agent or the school is responsible for monitoring that child's educational experience. However, again, that has to be initiated by the parent or the private school, and if that child wants to receive services, then the parent has to be responsible for transporting that child to the public school at certain times every day in order for him to get that specified service. Okay? If, however, a child has been placed in a private school because the district did not have the services that they were supposed to have to meet that child's needs, then the district has the responsibility of paying for that private school and ensuring that the services and the private school has the responsibility of making sure those services are rendered or that the IEP is followed. That's very, very important. From a homeschool perspective, pretty much the same thing. If the mm-hmm. parent wants them to receive those services, they would have to bring the child to the school.
Right. Okay. So in general then, just to make certain that our listeners captured accurately what you said, services are available to parents, and it's up to them to reach out for those services if they have voluntarily removed their kids from the public school environment. But the services are available to them. And if the school has placed the child in a private school environment, the services are definitely also available to them. And in that particular case, the public system will pay for both transporting the child and all the other associated expenses coming along with that.
Right. Yeah. The
right.
If the school puts them in another place, let me just, that'll make it more complicated. But I will say, I gave a very broad expectation. I would encourage parents to check with your local school district to see what their practice policy is, and private schools as well. We
right.
have a private school in our area now that's, has received a number of children with disabilities, but are not providing IEP. That ethically bothers me, but legally they're clear. So
right, right. And there's also one last thing too that that crossed my mind as you were talking, and this is particularly for parents who are homeschooling, not just if they have students with disabilities, but just generally if they're homeschooling and they may not be aware of it. Having been a past school administrator myself, what I know is that for physical education on those courses, that parents
right.
have the opportunity to bring their kids to the public school just
right.
only for those classes. And also, if they want to participate in the band or the orchestra or things like
that's
that.
Right.
But once again, check with your local school district, and they will provide the details. But those opportunities are available to your children, and you may not be aware of that. So, is there anything else, any last thing that you would like to say to wrap up our interview that would benefit our moms and single moms out there?
Yes. The most valuable lesson I ever learned in life was taught to me by a child with severe disabilities whose name was Tracy. I don't remember her last name. She was nonverbal, had cerebral palsy, very low intellectual abilities, and I had an internship at the school that she was at, and I fell in love immediately with this child, and my heart went out to her, and I felt so sorry for her. I hope you're hearing this. I felt so sorry for her that a child was born to have all of these challenges, and how fair could it be? And I just wanted to make her life better. That's all I wanted. Well, this little lady, she was 10 years old, and Tracy took me on a roller coaster ride. She had me around her finger. She took me up one tree, down another tree, and I just couldn't understand why she just was manipulating me so. And just about every day she would make me cry. So finally I asked the cooperating teacher, I said, "Why does Tracy treat me this way? What is she doing?" And the teacher said to me, "Tracy doesn't want your pity. She needs a teacher." And I was like, wow. Well, guess what? The next week, this was on a Friday, and on that Monday I came back, and I became Tracy's teacher. And all those little hoops she was throwing me through, all that up and down, all completely changed. Because even though she was severely involved as it relates to disabilities, she had sense enough to know when somebody was feeling sorry for her. And she didn't want my pity. She wanted me to respect her as a human being and teacher. My message to the parents out there is don't let anybody pity your child. You don't pity them. Don't let teachers pity them. Be a parent and require teachers to be teachers, because these children are human beings and they have a purpose for being here, and they can have a quality of life that has been designed especially for them. So don't give up on them. Don't pity them. Just accept them, love them, advocate for them, and be sure to take care of yourself so you can be all you need to be for them.
Beautiful. Wonderfully said. Dr. Harris, thank you so much for giving us your time. And I know that you have some resources probably that you would like to share. I don't know if you have a website and phone contact information, whether you're accepting any more speaking engagements. So at this time, I just want to give you an opportunity to say what you are accepting and willing to accept and contact information if you so choose.
Yes. I have two websites. One is for my work with schools and organizations, and it's DeborahHarrisInc.com. That's Deborah, DeborahHarris. And then I have a nonprofit that deals with children from a spiritual perspective, and it's PrayingForOurChildren.org. Both of those organizations are websites you can contact me. I do speaking engagements. However I can be of service to you, I'd like to be able to do that. If not, it's been a pleasure to chat with you, and hopefully our paths will cross as we continue to advocate for our children.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Dr. Harris, and thanks to our listeners, and we will see you next time.